Please remain standing as Elliot leads us in the reading of God's word in preparation for our sermon this morning.
In you, Lord, my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one who hopes in you will ever be put to shame, but shame will come on those who are treacherous without cause. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long.
Well done.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you on this family service. Family Day weekend. I am Ellen Funk, one of your pastors here. And in the late 1990s and into the early 2000s, my husband and I were challenge course facilitators on weekends. If you've ever gone to a challenge course, if you ever go, you're going to find that you need to stretch your ability to trust. One of the low course initiatives is called the Trust Fall. And in case you don't know what that is, a person stands with their back to a group of people who have been instructed on how to catch them as they fall backwards. And to make it even more challenging, the person climbs up onto a platform. In this initiative, who is requiring trust? Who has to use their trust? Well, the obvious answer is the person who's falling, of course. They have to screw up their courage to do something that goes against their natural instinct and fall because they want to have their self-preservation intact. They wouldn't choose to fall if they couldn't trust the group would catch them. However, they're not the only person who's trusting in this situation. Can you think of another? As a facilitator, I knew that the catching group also needed to be able to trust. You might ask, well, why are they trusting? The group needs to be able to trust the person falling has followed the instructions on keeping their hands together as they fall and not flail them out and hit them in the face as they try to catch the person. Another activity on a low challenge course is called the Wild Woozy. For this activity, there's two different wires, they're cables, in a V shape, and they're several feet off the ground. Two people stand on opposite cables at the narrow end of the V, and they are hand to hand, somehow grasping, sometimes arm to arm. But their goal is to trust their partner as they move down the cable together. And as the space between them separates, they have to trust and rely on each other in order to be successful. The partners have to trust as they lean on each other. They have to trust the cables. They need to trust that they can go further than their comfort level wants them to. And they have to trust that their spotters are going to keep them safe when and if they come off the cable. Now, kids, you might remember a couple weeks ago down in Kids Church that we did an activity that was similar to this. You were asked to walk on two pieces of tape that were on the ground that got up further apart, and we asked you on that day to try it shoulder to shoulder, so as you walked, you kind of leaned more and more. I was in the grade four class that day, and that class experimented with several different ways to do this. What they found was most successful and the easiest for them to trust was to go back to back and then link their arms together. In our passage, the psalmist David writes about trust. Where is he putting his trust? Well, let's read the first two verses of this passage again. In you, Lord my God, I put my trust. I trust in you. Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. In these verses, David is declaring his trust is in the Lord and his need for protection. David knew that he could trust and count on God. Why was he so confident? Because God had been faithful to him and trustworthy in the past. In his own life, David had experienced God's provision and protection numerous times. For example, God was with him when the Goliath was taunting him and the Israelite army, and David was volunteering to go fight. Let's look at his interaction with King Saul in 1 Kings chapter 17. Saul replied, "You are not able to go against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear has carried off, has come and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued it from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the lamb. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the army of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the lamb will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." God protected and strengthened David when facing Goliath. Later, God protected David when King Saul was hunting him down to kill him. And God gave David wisdom when later he became king and needed to rule wisely. God is trustworthy. How are you at actually trusting God? It's one thing to say it. It's a whole other thing to do it and to live like we trust. There are times in my own life when I find myself doubting God. Do I trust him when I'm facing a tough situation or a decision? How about when tragedy strikes? A couple years ago, I lost my job, and it was really hard to trust that God was going to provide for us, but he did. I imagine that you've probably found yourself in situations that require trust, or you will find yourself in a situation soon. To help you remember that God is with you and has been faithful, think back to the times that you've already experienced, things that you've already gone through that God has walked you through. Things such as illness or relocation, a season of loneliness, family stress, or maybe even financial situations. To help your future self remember, consider documenting those God moments in a journal. Maybe take some photos of your blessings. I like it when those come up on my Facebook feed. You can also consider doing something to help you remember, such as making an object or something in your home that helps you remember. The Israelites did this. They put up standing stones so that every time they would go past and when the next generation was raised up, they'd say, "What is that?" And they could witness to what God has done for them. So looking back at God's faithfulness is an important step. But trust is a present commitment to move forward. A favorite challenge course activity for many people is the climbing wall. There's a small one downstairs, and after the service, kids, if you bring your parents, you can get on that. But we do ask parents supervise. Climbing walls are inanimate objects. They don't move. They don't have personality. But I bet if they had a life verse, they might consider Psalm 18, verse 29b, that says, "With my God, I can scale a wall." My daughter, she loves rock climbing. She loves climbing the walls, and the taller the better. Excuse me. Her love started early, and I think I found photos of her first experience with a tall ropes, a tall climbing wall was when she was 7. And could we go back a couple pictures? Okay, this first one, she is getting all harnessed up. Dad is protecting her there, making sure that she's going to be safe. In the next photo, she has started to climb, and she's gotten just a little ways up, and I don't remember if she was scared or what, but she's looking back, and she's asking for help. She's getting instructions from Dad, and in the next photo, you see she's made it halfway up the wall. She's just a little trooper. And then in this final one, you can see she did successfully navigate all the way up to the top of the wall. Did she immediately know what to do? Of course not. First, she watched her big brothers who climbed up the wall. And then before she got started, she got some instructions from her dad, and she asked any questions that she had. And then as she made her ascent, she received coaching from me. I was the one on the rope keeping her safe. As you saw, she is successful. She was. And she was successful because she was a student ready to learn. We see David's desire to learn in verses 4 and 5 of our passage. He says, "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your path. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Have you asked for help recently? Do you ask for help? Well, for kids, we typically hear phrases such as, "Can you teach me to tie my shoe? Can you teach me to hit a baseball? Can you help me make cookies?" Youth typically ask things like, "Can you teach me to play guitar or another instrument? Could you teach me how to drive? Can you help me decide where to go to university?" Adults ask questions such as, "Can you help me with this project? Can you give me advice on X, Y, or Z? Where's a good place to go camp to visit? Where's a good place to go eat?" In addition to the two times in today's passage where David asked God to teach him, there's three other places in the Psalms. Psalm 27:11, he says, "Teach me your ways, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors." In Psalm 86:11, he writes, "Teach me your ways, Lord, that I might rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name." In Psalm 143:10, he writes, "Teach me to do your will. For you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." Psalm 119 is famous for being the longest chapter in the Bible. Scholars aren't exactly sure, and they're not in agreement on who wrote it, but the phrase, "teach me," was used by its author 11 different times. As I read them, I want you to listen for what the psalmist wants to learn and why. Verse 12, "Praise be to you, Lord. Teach me your decrees." Verse 26, "I give an account of my ways and you answered me. Teach me your decrees." Verse 29, "Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law." Verse 33, "Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees that I may follow it to the end." Verse 64, "The earth is filled with your love. Teach me your decrees." Verse 66, "Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I trust your commands." Verse 68, "You are good and what you do is good. Teach me your decrees." Verse 108, "Accept, Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws." Verse 124, "Deal with your servant according to your love and teach me your decrees." Verse 135, "May your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees." Verse 171, "May my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees." Asking "teach me" is not passive. When we ask, we are assuming an active posture. It indicates we're ready and willing to learn. So what are ways that God uses to teach us? There's many different ways. In John Mark Comer's book, Practicing the Way, he outlines spiritual practices that God uses to teach us and to train us. These practices are Sabbath, prayer, fasting, solitude, generosity, scripture, community, service, and witness. Now, there could be a whole entire sermon series on just these practices, but for the sake of time, I'm going to highlight two of those, two that we're most familiar with, scripture and prayer. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17, we read, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, and rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." If you want to start practicing reading your Bible, maybe be more consistent in it, consider joining us in reading through the New Testament in 2026. Even though it's mid-February, it's not too late to join us as a church. Our goal and our reading plan is available on the church website, and you can also find a hard copy in the lobby in the literature rack by the doors facing McCallum Road. You can start at the beginning, or you can skip to week 7, which we're starting in the book of Acts. As you read, consider memorizing some scriptures. Scripture memory helps us move what we're learning from our short-term into our long-term memory. Kids, I hope you've already recognized one of the verses that we've read today. It's our memory verse for the month. It is Psalm 25, verse 5a, that says, "Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior." To go along with our current series up here, Pastor David has encouraged us to commit to memory Mark chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. Now, I had forgotten that challenge until I started preparing the sermon, so I'm going to get started on that this week. As I was preparing, I also read several sermons on Psalm 25. Most mention that it is an acrostic poem, meaning that each line starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And poetry or song is usually how I think about scripture, about thinking about Psalm in particular. But a sermon by Josh Elliott reminded me that there are also prayers. They are prayers of joy and anguish and lament and praise to God, all finding their form in lines of poetry. So in his sermon, Josh Elliott asks if we're following the psalmist's prayer for God to teach him, to teach us wisdom. So he writes, "How often do you pray for wisdom? It's an important prayer. What do we need more from God than guidance on how to live our lives for the time being in a fallen world that is an enemy of God?" And prayer for wisdom is one of the few prayers that God gives a blanket yes answer to in Scripture. Elliot then continues by urging us to consider James chapter 1, verse 5, that says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Prayer is a conversation with God. Pour out your praise, your thoughts, your concerns, your requests. Asking for God to teach us is following the example that David set for us. God is a trustworthy teacher. Let me end with words from King David's son, Solomon, generally considered to be the wisest person who has ever lived. He summarizes our passage well today in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 that say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." God is a trustworthy teacher.